From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In just a few minutes, we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Dr. Cairns continues his series of messages on the theme, Living Clean in an Unclean World. The text for the series is Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his third message, focusing on verse 11, Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Dr. Cairns has titled this message, A Sure Remedy Against Satan's Devices, a borrowing from one of the great Puritan writers, Thomas Brooks. In the first portion of the message, Dr. Cairns noted that the psalmist had a deep perception of spiritual reality. That is, he knew that Satan is out to destroy believers in any way he can. Also, we see that the psalmist had a noble purpose. He was determined to live a holy life. He hated sin because he knew that first and foremost sin is against the Lord. Yet it's not enough to resolve not to sin. The believer must make preparation to resist the devil's attacks by hiding God's word in his heart. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in a few minutes. First, here's an encouraging thought from Faith's Checkbook, a collection from the writings of the great 19th century preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled Night of Weeping, Joyous Day. The text is Psalm 30 and verse 5. For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. A moment under our Father's anger seems very long, and yet it is but a moment after all. If we grieve his spirit, we cannot look for his smile. But he is a God ready to pardon, and he soon puts aside all remembrance of our faults. When we faint and are ready to die because of his frown, his favor puts new life into us. This verse has another note of the semiquaver kind. Our weeping night soon turns into joyous day. Brevity is the mark of mercy in the hour of the chastisement of believers. The Lord loves not to use the rod on his chosen. He gives a blow or two, and all is over. Yea, and the life and the joy which follow the anger and the weeping more than make amends for the salutary sorrow. Come, my heart, begin thy hallelujahs. Weep not all through the night, but wipe thine eyes in anticipation of the morning. These tears are dews which mean us as much good as the sunbeams of the morrow. Tears clear the eyes for the sight of God in His grace, and make the vision of His favor more precious. A night of sorrow supplies those shades of the pictures by which the highlights are brought out with distinctness. All is well. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're grateful for the encouraging responses to these broadcasts, and we want you to know that we're very thankful to those of you who take the time to contact us. Among the various publications which we offer on these programs, the most popular is the LTBS Quarterly Magazine. The principal focus of the current issue is The Risen Christ. The articles include On the Road to Emmaus, By the Sea of Galilee, and At the Mount of Olives. Also, this issue contains a missionary focus on the nation of Poland, as well as a report on what the Lord is doing in Nepal. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, is it ever right to have an abortion? What is the unpardonable sin? And will those perish who have never heard of Jesus Christ? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com. Thank you.
wherever you go, the devil's out to destroy you. So that's the perception. Now, over against that perception, the psalmist had a noble purpose. It was to live in holiness. His purpose was that I might not sin against thee. Now, I want you to notice the words against thee. You see, the psalmist was powerfully affected by what he knew of the Lord. Sin was hateful because of what he knew of the Lord. What defines sin in the psalmist's mind? Now, you can give a theological definition of sin. You can give the catechism definition of sin. Sin is any want of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God. That's a good theological definition in succinct terms. But you can deal with it much more simply. Sin is anything that's against God. Sin is anything that comes between you and the Lord. Sin is anything that drives you from Christ. It may be acceptable to others. It may not have even the same effect in others. That's why just because I do something, it's not reason why you may do that. The thing in itself may have no effect on me and yet have a terrible effect on you. Anything that is against God, anything that's going to drive you away from the Lord, it's going to antagonize you toward the things of God or alienate you from the things of God, that thing for you is sin. That's how he defined sin. And what made it hateful to him was that it was hateful to God. You remember how David, who was not the psalmist, I believe in Psalm 119. David felt this. You remember he sinned? He sinned terribly. And it just shows you how Christians, and I take David was a genuinely saved man, a man after God's own heart, but it just shows you how even good people can become hardened and twisted in their thinking and justify themselves. I mean, you've seen this many a time. I have looked in the face of liars and they have been able to justify their lies. And give me some spiel. Thieves, and they can justify their thieving. David was an adulterer and a murderer. And you would think to hear some preachers, you know, that David did this and then he just got so suddenly convicted. David went on for months like that. Months. And in the 32nd Psalm, he traces that period as a period when I kept silence. And God was dealing with him. But yet he hardened his heart. He said, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. Day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, and my moisture was turned into the drought of summer. But still, no repentance. But then finally, when Nathan came and nailed him, thou art the man. And finally, when the babe that was born of adultery died, David came to realize Psalm 51 verse 4, against thee only have I sinned. I was talking to the fellas in theology class the other day about that text. Theologically and philosophically, that is a very, very deep statement. You see, on a human level, it's ludicrous to say, I haven't sinned against anybody else. He had sinned against himself. He had sinned against his family. He had sinned against Bathsheba. He had sinned against Uriah. He had sinned against Ahithophel. He had sinned against his whole nation. He had sinned against a whole bunch of people. So how on earth could he say, against thee and thee only have I sinned? And here's the philosophical and the theological point. Nothing that I can do to anybody could be counted sin unless it were first against God. It's because God is holy and God is just and God has given us His law. It's because of all that that makes contraventions of that law to be sin. And so David felt this. He was overwhelmed now with the holiness and the majesty and the glory of God. And he says, against thee only have I sinned. And of course he pleaded for cleansing and he got it. But you know, as Thomas Brooks said, it's better to be kept from sin than cured from sin by repentance. Just as it's better for a man to be preserved from disease than to be cured of the disease. I think everybody here would rather be preserved from having cancer than get cured of cancer. Right? Well, says Brooks, so it's better for us to be kept from sin. So the psalmist therefore announces this purpose of heart. Lord, that I might not sin against thee. That's my purpose. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Why am I living the way I'm living? Why do I worship where I worship? Why? Because I want not to sin against God. That's my purpose. I'm going to live my life by the grace of God. I'm going to run my home by the grace of God. I'm going to conduct my relations in my family by the grace of God. I'm going to live in society. I'm going to work in my business. I'm going to worship among God's people by the grace of God through the faith of the gospel with the purpose that I do not sin against God, that I do not grieve the Holy Spirit. That's my purpose. Remember, that was how Joseph lived. When Joseph was inveigled to do great wickedness by Potiphar's wife, he said, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? How could you expect me to sin against God? What you're asking me to do, no matter how well it would pay me in terms of fleshly indulgence, no matter how it may even prosper me, no matter what would happen, if you're asking me to sin against God, the price is too big. I won't do it. That was his purpose. That was the principle that guided Daniel. He went into captivity. It's easy for us to read this, you know. These boys were captives. They were slaves. Daniel and his friends were selected for special treatment. But they were still slaves. And that treatment was to make them fit servants of the king of Babylon. The king of Babylon was an absolute autocrat. He just batted an eyelid and quite literally you would lose your head. So when he presented, this is your diet, you eat it. The other Jewish boys did it. But Daniel and his three companions said no. For Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. It might have cost him his head, but he was determined to keep his heart. That's a very noble purpose. Could I again appeal to you, and especially, not only, this is true of us all. Listen, the notion that you get holier as you get older, it's a load of rubbish. You don't get holier as you get older. You may lack the physical energy and drive to do some of the stupid things you did when you were young, but you're just as corrupt by nature, and your flesh is just as rotten as it always was. So age in itself does not confer holiness. So this is for everybody. But especially I would address this to the young, because the devil would come to you and he would paint holiness as such a dreary thing. Such an old-fashioned thing. That's for old people. Sin is so exciting. See the bright lights? Man, sin is so exciting. No, it's not. No, it's not. Sin is damnable. Sin is the way of the weak-kneed and the wimps. Anybody can do it. Anybody can go with the filthy flow of the world. When Paul wrote to a young man called Timothy, I want you to notice how he addressed him. He said, "Thou, O man of God." Not a boy. Not a youth in years perhaps, but no, no, no. You are being called to flee youthful lusts. So you're being called as a man of God. There's a manliness. There's a strength. There's a nobility. There's a glory and there's a beauty. There's a majesty in this purpose, that I may not sin against God. But of course, the psalmist recognized something, that simply saying, "Well, I'm going to do that, I want to do that," without making the needed preparation, is absolutely useless. So he made a necessary preparation. "Thy word have I hid in my heart." Now, what does that mean? One great commentator said it, he not only heard it and read it, but he received it into his affections. Notice the parts here, into his affections. Mixed it with faith. Laid it up in his mind and memory for future use. Preserved it in his heart as a choice treasure, where it might dwell richly and be of service to him in many occasions. Do you notice when the devil came to the Lord Jesus, he didn't need to say, "Hold on, Satan, till I find the place in my Bible"? No. Immediately, he knew the precise scripture to use for the precise situation in which he was found. Now, I know that he is God manifested in the flesh, and as God the Savior, therefore, is omniscient. But he was also truly man. And I read that he grew in knowledge. In other words, as a little boy, the Savior was a student of God's word. He hid it in his heart.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.